This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind that you want to talk about on around 150 radio stations across the nation. Actually, I don't like that word, across the states. Whatever you want to bring up to people, you want people to hear about, you want to get our opinions on, or other people, other callers' opinions on, you can call 603-283-6160 and bring it up on the show. Even if it's off topic, it doesn't matter. Or you can talk about what we're talking about and give us your two cents. Here in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Colin.
And in the first segment, because we did get a few calls in the, I think we got three calls in the last segment, we were talking, and in the first segment, though, about this story. It's an opinion piece from the Wall Street Journal, and this guy is talking about how, at first, when he heard that Ethan Crumbly, school shooter's parents, were also charged, he was charged with life. He got life in prison for shooting and killing four people and, I think, injuring seven others in his high school. Well, his parents also got sentenced to 10 to 15, I don't know why they keep calling it 10 to 15 years in prison. Like, I usually think it's, like, supposed to be a set number, but maybe he'll get into what that's supposed to mean. But his parents also got sentenced to some time in prison for, I think it was manslaughter. Lori said she thinks it was manslaughter. And so that would be, like, the actual charge. But the reason is because, oh, well, they were bad parents. They gave their son a gun, even though he had mental health problems. They failed to get him mental health checks, and they failed to secure the gun. Then he went and shot people in his high school, so they should be held accountable as well. And that's even what the prosecutor said. The prosecutor, Karen McDonald, said, there are other individuals who contributed to the events, and it's my intention to hold them accountable as well. And so this author of this Wall Street Journal opinion piece said at first he thought, oh, yeah, who cares about those derelicts? I agree, we should punish them as well. And now he's wondering, maybe this case represents a worrisome precedent. But this is a call-in talk radio show, and it's a little, like, this is giving me, like, a little bit of a trip, kind of, because Sarah from New Mexico never calls in until the third hour, and now David, who also does the same thing, is calling in the second hour as well. Don't know why you guys are switching it up on me. You're not allowed to do that. David, what's on your mind?
Yo, Bonnie, your baby daddy. Well, I tell you, Bonnie, since I got a hot date tonight, I got to hurry up and get on the radio so I can get on my hot date.
Ew, don't. Okay.
Is it with Sarah? Is that why she called early?
Oh. Bonnie, you the little tiny tyrant, the mini-mouth. You were about to tell me to don't do what?
Don't call me that.
You broke up, Bonnie, because you're always telling me what not to do.
She's
this
the
slander.
She's the pint-sized Pol Pot.
The pint-sized Pol Pot. Oh, there you go. I like that.
I've got a whole list of them now. You inspired me.
Okay. Yeah, Ian loves this too now.
All right. Wait, Ian what?
Ian loves this joke too now, and he was, I don't know if he thought of new ones, but he was laughing at the ones I told him about.
Oh, nice.
Cool. You should, you know what? I'm getting this vision right now for Bonnie and in all of those capacities. That when you walk into the prison, you own the place, and you start ordering those guards around. You do this, you do that, you do it now.
You let my husband free now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. This at the prison, it's so much worse. They're more like just messing with your emotions. They don't care about your time or your day. Like, it's not like there's some set amount of time I'm supposed to be there. It's like I show up, and then when I want to leave, I can kind of just leave. But basically, like, say I get there, and I want to leave at a certain time. So I'm like, okay, Ian, goodbye. Like, I'll talk to you later. I have to sit in a chair next to the door, wait until a prison guard feels like taking me out, like leading me all the way out. It's just...
Or taking you out. Those are two completely different things. Taking you and taking you out are like night and day, Bonnie.
Okay, well, taking me out of the prison, it's like it's so much worse. It's not just like in the other jail, it's like if I visited Ian at 8:30, but I need to get out of there quickly, I could see him for a while and be like, okay, bye, and just walk out the jail myself. And this one, like, I have to go through all these doors, and like, I have a stamp on my hand for no reason, where I have to show the guy that I have this stamp on my hand.
A stamp? Really?
Yeah, it's a stamp that glows in the light that you put it under.
Is that stamp by chance, possibly toxic chemicals?
I know, right?
Applying to your body?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering that. All of the food that they sell there is toxic as well. Like, I was looking at it,
They can prove it. They can't force you. It's a violation of your human rights to force you to be stamped, tattooed with toxic chemicals in order to visit your loved ones, Bonnie.
Yeah, but all that's going to do is make...
Can I ask, do they put that on, like, after you've entered, so what, you can't re-enter, or...
I think it's just that way, if somehow this woman who is leading me through all these doors has, like, a group of four, right? If somehow somebody who wasn't actually supposed to snuck in, which makes no sense. Like, where would I come from? It doesn't make any sense. If somehow I just snuck into the line, and now I'm like, she didn't notice.
Well, let me ask you this. Have they ever checked you for that same thing as you're, like, leaving, or?
Yeah, they check you as you're leaving, too.
Hmm.
Oh, maybe that's why. So I know they know I'm not a prisoner when I'm leaving. But they check it when I'm going in, too. So they check it when I'm going in two spots. And it takes forever, too. And, like, this woman...
Does it have a certain shape on it, too? Like,
yeah, it's like some sign. I don't know what it is.
Interesting. I bet I could, like, make a fake one, and we could just, like, get everyone out of there. Oh, did I say that on the radio? Never mind.
Well, you'd have to be able to somehow stamp their hands with it. And apparently the guards that were watching the one time that I visited Ian, which was this past Sunday, don't really care. So me and Ian were just, like, holding hands and talking the whole time, and that guard never said anything. But one of the prisoners had told Ian that there's this one that when she's the prison guard watching us, she'll be like, hey. Well, the other one's a woman, too.
Oh, okay.
And this one, like, she's kind of rude, and she's definitely a dyke. I was like, okay, so if I get patted down, they're going to be like, it's fine, she's a woman. But she's, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that word. She's obviously a lesbian, the butch kind. I don't know if dyke is actually offensive.
Wow, first the F word, and now dyke and lesbian? Wow.
Wait a minute,
there's something very important. When this little Dutch boy stuck his finger in the dyke, just exactly what the hell was going on?
What? So, I know that word means other things, but I don't know what it means, so...
You don't know what a dyke is?
Only
well, there's like three different words that dyke means, because there's also a dyke, which are a set of cutters. They call those dykes. And then there's the dyke. Yeah. Then those things in Holland, the Dutch boy, those are like little dams that they would build, and then they would pump the water out to make more land.
Okay. So that's what I have to say about your joke, David. Well, okay.
What exactly did you say about my joke? I wasn't even clear on what you said, Bonnie. What did you say?
First I just said, what does this mean? Blah, blah, blah. And then I said, okay.
You know, you have really made this David guy mad. I remember the first time I was on, you called
David
in and we talked about medals and stuff.
Yeah, I was nice then.
Yeah, I was nice.
Bonnie the Ballbuster. There you go. There's another one. Bonnie the Ballbuster. BBB.
Well, I feel like we actually had something we were talking about here before I said dyke.
Yeah.
Before I even said anything.
Yeah, we did.
Well,
we did, and we didn't even get to what I was calling.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what, you didn't actually...
One second, I'm just going to mute Bonnie.
Stop it. You actually didn't actually bring up what you actually called in about. Yeah, I was just kind of rambling about the prison guards, and it's annoying, and it annoys me, so I don't want to talk about it anymore. So go ahead, what's on your mind, David?
Okay, what's on my mind, but lastly on that subject, I think Bonnie needs a little dictator uniform that she puts on when she goes to prison to visit Ian. I think that would be cute.
I'm the least of a... dictator at that point.
Oh, okay. I was going to, I'm going to spare you any serious stuff. I'm going to tell you something, another animal story. But I do want to criticize the two ladies there for last time, when I called last time, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, and we had a discussion, and then after you hung up on me, then you criticized my points without me being on the telephone in order to tell you how wrong you are, and that's not fair. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Well, sometimes it just feels like it's the only way to end
the call.
Fair talk live.
Yeah, no. That's an unfair communication style that the little dictator is implementing there, and it should cease immediately.
The other ones do it too. Ian and Aria do that too.
Yeah, I know. I have chastised them as well. That's just that they're too dumb to understand. You at least have enough brain cells that you might be able to understand my play,
point of view,
situation. The other two are, they're too dumb. They won't. They'll never get it.
Whoa. I don't think Ian's dumb, or Aria, but thank you, David, for the compliment. I'll take the compliment.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to tell you an animal story. I don't even know if I'm still in the mood anymore.
No, I do want to hear the animal story. Is it squirrel-related or lizard-related?
Rodent. It's rodent. This one's bunny rabbit. I got these wild cottontails. I mean, they're just regular wild bunny rabbits, cottontails, that live around my house like a lot of people do. And I was reminded just yesterday, actually, of this fun behavior on their part. I'll be at a doorway or somewhere in my yard, but even like if I'm in the house with the door open, they'll come right up to the open door and like look in and look at me and like, hey, how you doing? What's up? What's going on? You want to come out? And they'll just hang out there for a couple minutes. And they'll stay there longer if you talk to them. And engage them like they're a person. I mean, literally talk to them like they're a person. They'll actually stay there and listen to you and make eye contact while you're talking to them. And then when they finally get bored with you, they have a longer attention span than most people. then they'll just like, okay, bye. I'm going to go hop off and eat some grass over here.
Aww.
Later.
Your bunnies seem like they care if you're talking to them.
No.
Yes. They do actually. And if you're out in the forest, deer will do the same thing. If you're walking along and all of a sudden, like, there's a doe there and she doesn't run off immediately, if you just start talking to them and such, that they'll actually, like, stand there. And make
one time, before I just, hated the cops too much to even ask for their help, one time I called the police because deer was staring at me and not letting me pass its path, and I climbed up in a tree. And, of course, the, what are they called, the people that answer the phones? Because I lived in such a small town, the people that answer the cop phones, I forget what they're called right now.
Dispatchers.
Yeah, the dispatchers would always, they'd see me in the grocery store and be like, wait, are you Bonnie Cruz? Oh, my gosh, we always talk about how funny that was. It wasn't funny. I was, serious. I was like, I don't know what to do. It won't leave me alone. It's staring at me. And it had little horns.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And
but now that's your spirit animal, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think that they can be kind of creepy.
I don't trust any wild animal that's friendly.
Yeah.
Or seemingly friendly.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't even necessarily being friendly. It was running past. I froze. I'm in, this field with little old trees, and it's in Utah, so it's not, like big giant trees. And so, it was running, perpendicular to my path, and it stopped. It was, not even looking at me. Then it slowly turned towards me, and I just got into a tree as fast as possible, and it approached a little closer. So I was like, mm-mm. I don't know what to do. There were, bees in the tree. So I called the cops.
On the bees, too, right?
But by the time they had got there, it had just, got bored and walked away. And so I just told them, I just, waited for them because they told me to. And when they got there, they were like... Really? They were acting like I was lying to them or something, and I told them.
The Bonnie that cried deer, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What would even be the purpose of that lie?
I always wonder that.
Wanted to see you guys.
I know, I always wonder.
No, they get that. They get that, actually.
So they told me, they were like, just so you know, we may have to kill it. Are you okay if we go looking for it, if we may have to kill it? I was like, I don't care, but now I feel kind of bad. I do care. I wouldn't want them to kill it now.
You know what they did, though? They wanted to make sure they had the right deer, so they did a lineup. And they showed you, this one, this one, this one.
They just picked the darkest one and shoot it.
Oh, my God.
That's how it happens with the cops.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's a really cute bunny story, David.
Yeah, that wasn't even the story I was going to tell you.
Really? Okay, then what was the story you wanted to tell?
There's more to it. But first of all, I'd clarify. So I was picturing a juniper tree, but once you I picture you up in the tree, it was a nut tree, right?
I don't get. Is that a joke? Because they laughed.
Because you're not.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. She didn't get that one.
It wasn't a juniper tree because it wasn't an evergreen. And I was like in a neighborhoody area. It might have just been planted. It might not have been something that's like supposed to be.
Oh, it was definitely a nut tree. Yeah, it was definitely a nut tree.
Thank you, David. You actually had an actual story. You wanted to, I feel like you had a secondary, a primary story. You only told me the secondary one.
Yeah, if you want to know just how, and rabbits are actually really, really smart. And if you want to know just how human some animals can be, here's a situation that happened to me recently. I had a mother cat and she had a litter, and the cats were all like half grown, so they're pretty big. The kittens were pretty big by the time I got rid of them. And so there's like, I don't know, what, 7, 8 cats all right around me. I was out in the yard. And all of a sudden comes hopping this bunny rabbit that I'm talking about. There's 3 or 4 of them, but there was one in particular. And this bunny rabbit comes hopping around the corner right toward me and these, like, 7, 8 cats. And all the cats, all of a sudden, they go into predator mode. They're like, oh, we're going to get this bunny rabbit and eat it right now. And so and seeing what's going on, I don't make any move. I just look at all the cats, and I go, no. And they all just freeze. And you can tell that they, like, relax. They're like, okay, he's not going to let us kill this bunny rabbit.
Wow.
So all these cats are just all around me, and they go out of their predator mode and just start to relax, and they're watching this bunny rabbit. They're like, well, we'd still really like to kill that rabbit and eat it, but he won't let us.
Wow.
So, okay. And then the bunny rabbit looks at me in the eye, and it had come around the corner and stopped. And then I yelled at the cats, and then the bunny rabbit looked at me in the eye, and I said, okay, come on. And when I did that, then the bunny rabbit just hopped right directly toward me and passed right by my feet and went right through the middle of all of the cats and continued on its way to the other side of the yard, and the cats didn't make a move on it at all. So if you want to know how you can control animals just by treating them like people, there's a very interesting study, or at least it is to me.
That doesn't work, though, with government people, right? Like, if I treat them like people, I can't control...
They're not as smart as wild animals.
Oh, okay, I see.
I imagine David dressed up as Snow White, saw the animals, like, surrounding him.
Do you and,
like,
sing, and they
the
come out?
Helping him get ready in the morning.
I was actually thinking, I was like, maybe because of the way that David lives, he has some kind of, like, deeper connection to the animals. They, like, listen to them. They come and, like, water droplets off his ankles. And no, that's another story.
And what part of New Mexico are you in, if I could ask?
They're probably just thirsty, and they're like... I'm going to risk it for some water because we live in the desert.
That's true.
Where?
Right in the middle.
Oh, well, right in the middle would be what, just a little bit south of Albuquerque?
Yeah, south of Albuquerque.
Okay.
Well, I wonder if somehow you have some kind of connection that other people who don't, like, live out off-grid have with animals, because, I don't know, that's kind of cool. When Lori was saying, I'm imagining... David dressed up, I thought you were going to say, like, I don't know, like some kind of druid or something. You said, like, Snow White. So now that's what I'm going to imagine instead. Well, thank you for the call, David from New Mexico. I can't believe he thinks I'm smarter than Ian. That's definitely not true. But it is really funny, and I'm going to tell Ian now. So, and it's weird. Like, David seems like he's mean to me, but he actually, like, loves me. He even said it once. He calls me a tyrant and stuff, but he loves it.
Well, I mean, that just means you're doing your job right. They're supposed to both fear and love the leader.
I'm the leader.
The tyrant, the dictator.
So just to, I want to basically get to at least the point of this guy's opinion piece about Ethan Crumbly's parents getting sent to jail for the crime that their son committed. Well, he says, locking up parents so irresponsible seems just... The truth may be more complicated. Quote, a lot of prosecutors are prosecuting people in circumstances that show something like civil negligence, not criminal negligence, unquote. That's Joshua Kleinfield, professor of criminal law at Northwestern University and a lawyer for Northwestern's Juvenile Criminal Defense Clinic.
I'd feel a lot better if it was a civil case, you know, like a wrongful death or something like that, than you know, a criminal one. Yeah.
That'd be fine. Yeah, if they wanted to individually sue the parents of the kids who died, you know.
A lot of prosecutors already do that with what you're saying, civil. but it doesn't really happen with this with criminal cases. So
because it shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I don't even know if this should happen civilly, but at least I don't think they should be found guilty. Maybe they could try, but I'm sure a jury would help them do that civilly too. Actually, wait, they kind of already did because the parents of the dead kids in the Connecticut shooting, the big one.
Sandy Hook.
Yeah. They won money for a civil suit against the manufacturer of the gun, not the parents of the guy who shot their kids, but the manufacturer.
Didn't they also sue Alex Jones, maybe?
Mm-hmm. For, yeah, that's the whole, like,
for saying stuff.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
I don't know.
Quote unquote, like, forfeited or whatever in that. Not forfeited, but fined in that case. The only thing that makes me, like, or not the only thing. One thing that makes me really disappointed in that whole case is, like, Alex Jones went on to be like, I shouldn't have said those things and I'm sorry to anyone I offended, but this isn't right. No, you should. I mean, this is just what I think he should do, but I just feel like, why even apologize? Like, you should say whatever you think that you need to say.
I heard a break in the audio for a second.
Oh, yeah, but you should say whatever you want to say to the public, and their feelings shouldn't, guarantee them any money from you for saying it. It's crazy. So this guy says that meeting the standard of criminal culpability and its dire punitive consequences typically requires a higher level of mens rea, or a guilty mind. For example, tossing a cinder block from a high window onto a packed street demonstrates an active indifference to the value of human life. As several criminal law professors point out, simply making a gun available to one's son doesn't meet the standard. But, I mean, the thing about it is, most people in the jury would read that paragraph and their eyes would gloss over. It's not like they understand anything about law. I mean, to be at the point of being like a lawyer, obviously not, but even just like the average person on the street wouldn't even be able to understand what I just said. I'm not trying to call everybody stupid, but it's just like the people that get picked on to get on these juries are literally selected by the prosecution to be the least intelligent and the least informed about things because it helps them.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting thing. This is a story from TJ.
TJ the Spy?
Yes, TJ the Spy. So he had to serve on jury duty, which he felt happy about at the time. He's like, it's my duty and I get to help him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, before he was even a libertarian?
Yeah, although, I mean, honestly, so I think a lot of libertarians would like to serve on it because they can do the right thing. But in any case...
yeah, but he was probably doing it for the right thing, but it was probably not really the right thing back when he was a Democrat.
Well, anyways, I don't know how to respond to any of that. I'll tell you after the break.
So 603-283-6160, you can bring up whatever is on your mind. Clearly, after that conversation we just had with David, clearly you can bring up whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160, it's Free Talk Live. More coming up, don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Thursday on Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity. That's against charges related to overturning the 2020 election. The outcome could decide whether Trump faces a federal trial this year on four felony counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith. Ukrainian President Zelensky expressing his thanks to the U.S. for passing the foreign aid package for Ukraine.
I hope that you and the Americans will feel the result of their help, a result to save Ukraine and Ukrainians.
President Biden said shipments of military aid will start reaching Ukraine within hours. Reggie Bush, the former University of Southern California running back, will have his 2005 Heisman Trophy reinstated. Bush had his trophy revoked in 2010 following NCAA sanctions against USC, which included infractions related to improper benefits received by Bush. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Alex, who is a gold level amplifier with us. An amplifier is somebody who helps you advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you'd like to join Alex, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That is amps.freetalklive.com and sign up with us to support the show and also see what kind of perks and benefits that you can get for helping us out. And we really appreciate it. So thank you, Alex, for joining the AMPS program, that amps.freetalklive.com. With you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, you were telling us a story about another person who sometimes does the show with us, TJ the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, I think, fan favorite, because I'm a fan and he's my favorite. I love TJ. And he comes and does the show sometimes. Well, you were talking about how years and years ago, because you are his ex-lover from Missouri, you used to live with him.
I mean, you know, I thought we said we wouldn't talk about that on the... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, anyways.
I lived at his house for a while, so yeah. But
so he was going to... He got selected for jury duty.
Yes, yeah. So he was selected for jury duty, and I don't know exactly why it was the case, but they weren't just criminal things. They were civil things, because you have a way to get a jury trial for certain types of civil things. And it was this case where, like, a trucker at the local truck stop had bumped into another truck, and they were, like, suing the one guy for damages or whatever. And, like, nobody was hurt or anything like that. But in any case, the lawyer for the – we'll call them the defense, but that's not the word. It's the plaintiff and the whatever. I get them backwards. When they were doing the voir dire for the jury and going through, so it's a civil case, right, which means it's preponderance of the evidence, which means it's 50%, not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like, you know, 100% or 99. So the I'll call them the defense, was going to each one of the jurors and saying...
it's the plaintiff and the defendant, even if
it is the defendant. Okay, yeah, I thought it was, but I wasn't sure off the top of my head. was going to them and asking them during the questioning part, which they call voir dire, or people say voyeur dire, whatever, different pronunciations. Do you feel that, you know, how guilty do you feel that the person would need to be or at fault in order to find, you know, to find them at fault or find them guilty or whatever? And the people were like, well, I feel like it'd have to be like more than 50, blah, 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 and things like that. Because they were just like confused. Like they didn't know it was a civil trial and they didn't understand anything. And so they're like, well, I wouldn't want to find him, you know, guilty if it was just like only 50%. But that's actually the burden. So the lawyer was able to kick off everybody in the jury pool.
Including TJ?
No, he would have answered it correctly, but to where there weren't enough jurors to have on a jury. And what that did is then it was a county, I think. The county had to go out and get more people. But in the meantime, he's racked up the costs on the other side because they're paying their lawyer by the hour to be there. And so it was basically a tactic to force them into negotiating again so they could just negotiate something and not hold the actual trial.
But
the interesting thing is, if you think about that, like that question, how guilty do you think you'd have to find this person to let them off?
What is 50% guilty?
Well, because essentially...
Insurance can determine that based on specific things, but...
So it's in a civil thing, it's not the immense powers of a government that can take your life and throw you away forever. Mm-hmm. It's basically two people having a disagreement, right? And so... It's just as bad if you find the one party guilty as if you find the other one not guilty, right? Does that make sense? Like if you and I had a dispute over like $1,000 and I said that, you know, you owed it to me and you said you didn't. Well, if we go, let's say they find it and they find that you do owe it to me. Well, then that, you know, that'd be right. But if they said that they didn't, but the opposite was the truth, then you'd be screwed, right? Like, one of the two parties is going to get screwed in that, so you can't put either one of them above the other. Mm-hmm. So when you find the, I'm going to use the word guilt, but that's not the right word.
So what you're saying is it's somebody, both sides have something at stake, unlike in a criminal thing.
The government has nothing to lose.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. So anyways, they use
I don't know if the audience understood what we were saying.
Okay,
so like,
yeah.
In a criminal case, like, you are getting charged with something. The people on the, quote, other side, the prosecution, the only thing they have to lose is, you know, they get an L instead of a W on their record, and it's not remotely the same as you risking going to prison for years or whatever it is.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So,
really,
but the interesting thing, the point I'd like to get at is, you know, if you have these people there and they don't even understand that just because one side's the plaintiff and one's the defendant, defendant, that neither one of them is more owing of being right or wrong. So an interesting thing is most juries think that the mere fact, and now I'm talking about a criminal case, that the mere fact that you're there means you must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great tactic. If anybody wanted to defend themselves, they could just go in and during voir dire, ask each one of the persons, like, now do you feel that the client must have done something wrong to be here today? And just to get everybody kicked off the jury.
I don't know if that necessarily can get them all kicked off, because in Ian's case, there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think if somebody had, like, the question was basically, if somebody has a lot of charges, would you be more likely to think they're probably guilty of something than if they only have, like, one charge? And there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think they'd be more likely to be guilty.
Yeah,
and
did any of those people get kicked
off?
That's
what I'm telling you. It doesn't necessarily get them kicked off.
Well, I mean, you were there and you saw that was or wasn't the case, or...
I'm telling you, there were people on the jury who said that.
Hmm.
So that obviously didn't get them kicked off.
Yeah, well, maybe the issue wasn't pressed enough.
Yeah, that's the.
I mean, that might even be able to be an issue that could be brought
not
up.
Not if you didn't object to it.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Which is, like, so stupid.
But by the way, I mean, I think this is also an interesting point just for anybody who's listening to think about. You have people who basically already think you're guilty just because you're there. So how in the world do we have an actual justice system?
Yeah, because, tons of people actually believe that if you get charged with something, you must be guilty of something. Like, tons of people said, if not to my face, like one girl, then like behind my back, and I heard about it later. Tons of people in my life, like outside of New Hampshire, had said, oh, well, Bonnie's husband obviously is guilty of something because the FBI raided her house. Like, why else would that happen? Or boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, governments have never just gone after people for nothing before.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, so. Well, in the first couple of segments, we were talking about Ethan Crumbly's parents. He was a school shooter, and his parents got sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison just because they were neglectful, something like that, and they got charged with manslaughter for the fact that their son killed people, and that's not right. And we have another Second Amendment-related issue coming up, but first I wanted to let Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. I wanted to let you tell us what's on your mind.
It's your boy, the backdoor daddy,
what?
Free Talk Live bully, the evolutionary capitalist, young Skeet.
Just to clarify, you are my disowned son.
Yeah.
Oh, how come Mark said I'm like a bully on a playground just beating up on helpless libertarians.
Hold on, I have to put the record straight. He didn't say, you're like a bully on the playground beating up helpless libertarians. He said, if you were right, then you would be. If you can't explain yourself, then you're just rambling like a crazy man and you never were able to explain yourself. So, yeah, you're definitely misrepresenting what Mark said. I was on that show.
I got the clip queued up if you want to hear it again.
Yeah,
said,
I don't think you do.
It's not fair that I'm picking on ignorant libertarians, pretty much.
Don't think he said that. Now
that I've thoroughly proven that taxation isn't theft, you guys constantly call the U.S. government murderers because of the collateral damage in international wars. What makes you think that staying in the very system that commits that murder and taking advantage of the defense and services it provides, how does that not make you culpable for that very same murder? You guys have to renounce citizenship and boycott all American.
I'm not a federal citizen, so.
Yeah, Colin actually already did do that. And the other thing is, you are assuming that the people here who are against war, I think that's what you're saying, are actually, like, gaining services.
Well, I have something interesting to say about that. He's like, he's saying, not to, you know, necessarily be just putting words in his mouth or something like that, but he's saying, oh, you're benefiting from the fact that somebody else is doing this fight, and if they weren't fighting with these other people, those people could come and get you. And I'm like, well, you can make the argument that any country that's on the other side of another country that's going to war, like there's A, B, and C country, you're living in C, and B is fighting with A, that therefore you're benefiting from it too, you know. I mean, that kind of logic can be, you know, extended endlessly.
What do you have to say?
Let me maybe even give an example. You know, you could say, oh, well, there's two cartels in Mexico, and they're fighting with each other, and, well, if it weren't for this one fighting that one, you'd really be in trouble. You would be in a less safe, Colin.
What do you say about that, Skeeter?
I couldn't hear the argument. I don't know. For some reason, when you put me on hold, sounded like you guys are very distant that time.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I mean, I am distant from my estranged son, but.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
What
I don't.
Is that?
I don't get really. What can you tell me? Maybe something that is like national or something that you think I. Benefit from the government.
You can't support murderers, right? You guys can't contribute to a system that murders, even if it's collateral damage, right? That's murder.
Well, wait. You said contribute this time. The previous time you said, like, get
benefit.
The benefit from.
Yeah, that's what I was asking you. Like, what benefit do you say that I get?
Yeah, you're you're making the system better off by contributing to, by trading with murderers.
You just like, can't have a conversation with this guy. Like, he's
dealing
not
with murders.
We have already talked about this. When we, every time we talk about using Bitcoin instead of the U.S. dollar, yeah, we say that. So it's like, you're like, oh, you've never thought of this. Bam. And it's like, we literally talk about this. And the other thing is, like, we ask him a question. I think he hung up that time. I just put him on, I pressed the top button, so I put him on hold. And now he's gone. But you just can't have a conversation with this loser. He said one thing. I asked him a follow-up question so I can have a better conversation with him. He just asserts a new thing. He's stupid. Either he's stupid or he is paid to come on here and just, like, derail the conversation into stupid conversations that aren't actually, like, interesting or useful. And honestly, I would just stop answering his calls. But when I do that, he seriously, like, literally harasses me by filling up the entire line with all Skeeter calls. And for some reason, I can't block him because we have a crappy, I don't want to say the name of it, but this thing that does our call system is crappy. And it's like, I blocked people before, but for whatever reason, I can't block Skeeter. But we were talking about, kind of like talking about the Second Amendment, honestly, more talking about the injustices and the justice system in general. But this kind of seems like an injustice, and it's related to the Second Amendment. Lori has a story about a judge who said the Second Amendment doesn't exist in his courtroom.
This article is from redstate.com. It's New York City man convicted over gunsmithing hobby after judge says Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. A Brooklyn man has been convicted of 13 weapons charges after having been arrested and charged in 2022 for building his own firearms. Dexter Taylor's ordeal could become a landmark Second Amendment case in light of the Bruen ruling handed down in the same year. The jury found Taylor guilty of second-degree criminal possession of a loaded weapon, 4 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, 5 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, second-degree criminal possession of 5 or more firearms, unlawful possession of pistol ammunition, violation of certificate of registration, prohibition of unfinished frames or receivers.
Wait, so the... He made a fake registration for it or something? I don't know.
That's violation of certificate of registration. I'm guessing they just were unregistered guns because he made them.
Okay.
2 lesser charges, including third-degree criminal possession of 3 or more firearms and third-degree possession of a weapon, were not voted on.
Was this all state, the state court, state charges?
It's in New York. So.
But what does that mean they weren't voted on? Because it's up in the Supreme Court, so that's, it's the Supreme Court of New Hampshire, or New York.
I believe New York is a grand jury state, so...
Yeah, but they don't vote either.
Well, yeah, I mean, I really don't know, but I think that the grand jury is responsible for bringing the charges, so essentially the grand jury has to vote that there's enough evidence to even bring those charges.
Mm. We don't want to...
Yeah.
Mess with those 2 charges because they already had all the big ones and these were lesser charges.
Double check that. But go ahead.
Taylor, a 52-year-old New York native and a software engineer, discovered the world of gunsmithing years ago. He decided to take it up as a hobby and possibly turn it into a business later. However, when a joint ATF-NYPD task force discovered he was legally buying parts from various companies, they opened up an investigation that led to a SWAT raid and arrest.
It's so crazy that you... legally buying things that could be used in a crime it's just totally wrong that it's possible that there are people investigating you for that.
Yeah, you can buy all these parts. That's totally fine. Don't put them together, though.
Yeah.
They only have this one use, but don't put them together for the one use that they have, or else then that's illegal.
To answer that question, yeah, New York does do grand juries, and then as I'm searching for it right here, I'm actually seeing...
I don't think that usually you say...
I actually see an article here related to a Donald Trump thing where it says, what is a grand jury? Here's who voted to indict Donald Trump. So they're calling it voting. I guess it's not it's not like a regular jury because it's just the bringing of the charges. So they probably don't have to have, you know, all 12 or 6 or what. I think
well,
those
even again,
I think it's just like maybe half of the jury, grand jury,
but
has to say yes.
If something goes to a grand jury and they do not decide to pursue the charges, that is never unveiled. So I don't think that we would have this in that article. That's the only thing. So if the grand jury didn't vote to bring charges against Ian, No one would ever know about it.
I think there's a recommendation by a prosecutor to the grand jury.
No, I think this is a thing that is like a thing with grand juries. Like it doesn't become unsealed if it doesn't actually happen. I mean, maybe that's a New Hampshire thing.
But the thing with Ian was federal.
Well, oh yeah. Well, maybe it's a federal thing. But
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Conversation like we've had on the show with like Ian.
Yeah. Well, this is the state of New York, so it's different. Maybe they release everything that the person was going to be, charged with, and then they release what I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Seems dumb.
But anyway.
So
the article continues. He is currently being jailed on Rikers Island as he awaits sentencing. Taylor's conviction highlights the ongoing battle for gun rights. During an interview with Vinu Varghese, Taylor's defense lawyer, he detailed how Taylor's trial proceeded and highlighted a distinct bias in favor of the prosecution. Varghese described how Taylor became fascinated by weapon science during the COVID-19 lockdowns, which inspired him to take up his gunsmithing hobby. He ended up building, I believe, it was 8 pistols and 5 rifles or 6 rifles, AR-style rifles, and then 8 or 9 Glock pistols that he built. In an interview prior to his conviction, Taylor told Red State, I found out that you can actually legally buy a receiver, and you can machine that receiver to completion, and you can buy your parts, and you can put them together, and you've got a pistol or a rifle. And once I saw that, I was hooked. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is the most cool thing you could possibly do in your machine shop.
Wait, so was he saying all this stuff before they decided he was guilty?
Before they decided he was guilty.
That's pretty dumb.
From the beginning of
Taylor's... I was like, this is the coolest crime ever.
I mean, it was legal, though.
Oh, okay.
It says you can actually legally buy a receiver, and you can machine it to completion, and you can buy your parts and put it together.
Yeah, under federal law.
I thought he was just pointing out you could buy the things legally, not that you could put them together.
No,
then what is he in trouble
legal.
For?
Well, New York.
Well, yeah, New York.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
From the beginning of Taylor's trial, it was evident that the court would be biased against the defendant, according to Varghese, who explained that 2 judges presided over his case before the current official judge, Abina Darke, took over. The judge disrupted Varghese's opening statement multiple times as he tried to set the stage for Taylor's defense. Even further, she admonished the defense to refrain from mentioning the Second Amendment during the trial.
Wow.
She told us, do not bring the Second Amendment into this courtroom. It doesn't exist here, so you can't argue the Second Amendment. This is New York.
That's a wonderful quote. I love that quote. That's great. This is New York. Like, you've finished with that. Like,
because that's just not... okay, I totally support states' rights before I support federal rights. Not that I really think that a state has anything like a human right. But if I was going to have to go with one or the other, I'd say it's more important to give the states' rights, decentralize things a little bit. The federal government should not exist. But that's just not true. Like, I can't believe that she actually believes that anything has happened that has made it to where the Second Amendment doesn't apply in New York. Like, I understand that there were some things that happened where pertaining to giving permits, like, that it can be a shall issue or may issue state. So, like, yeah, New York is still a may issue state, right? Like, they don't have to give you a gun permit.
Oh.
But I don't understand. Like,
I'm shocked she wasn't immediately disbarred and, like, the whole thing thrown out.
I'm only not shocked because it's New York. It's New York.
They don't have the Second Amendment.
Right.
or rights.
Or rights.
At all.
Yeah, I'm sure most people in New York would be like, nice, not thinking like us.
You don't have rights against stop and frisk. You don't have rights,
I thought that was, like, over.
I'm trying to remember. They were talking about it at the conference we went to in Chicago.
Yeah, but I honestly didn't know about it till then.
Oh,
I didn't know that whole story. I don't know. So that just means that in New York, they were doing this thing where they were just stopping and checking people all over New York City to see if they had guns. And one thing that was a really interesting statistic that the speaker talked about was that more black men were stopped and frisked
in a certain area than there were actually black men that lived in, like, that area.
Right.
In other words, they were all stopped multiple times within a year.
Yeah, in 1 year, more black men were stopped than actually lived there.
And that was ruled to be...
That's the thing we're disagreeing, or don't know about.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
It sounds a lot like when they just stop everybody in a line of cars and look inside to see what's going on.
That's exactly what, like, at the beginning of this show... We were talking about, what are those, checkpoints. Yeah. I don't understand how
illegal stops
is fine. It seems so illegal. Yeah. And the thing is, if you stand up for yourself even a little bit, they will basically...
Oh, they'll arrest you.
No. I've only ever seen it go well. Maybe there are stories... They get mad, and they're unhappy about it, but they basically have to... Like, Mark Edge has a pretty big video on freekeen.com. Well, maybe it's there, but also on Freekeen YouTube channel where he stood up for himself on the border in Texas, or was it the one on the border in Canada? I don't know. But basically, like, they're so illegal that they basically, if you stand up for yourself at all, they'll let you go through, but they're really mad about it. But I think it's just because they don't want things challenged. They don't want to arrest you because that's so obviously wrong that you can just, I mean, the Fourth Amendment, it's like unreasonable searches and seizures, but there's another word for it. It's like, I would say unscreened, but I think it's because I just always use that word talking about the callers.
Wait, are you committing unscreened questioning of the callers on this show?
It's not unscreened, but the Fourth Amendment literally says something that it's like, oh, you can't just go ahead and...
They've got me convinced.
You can't just go around and be like, oh, this whole group, I'm searching all of you guys because I suspect someone did a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the Fourth Amendment. So, checkpoints are just illegal.
They don't even suspect someone did a crime. They're hoping someone did a crime. There's no reasonable suspicion there.
Yeah.
They're not pulling you over because you were swerving. They're not pulling anyone over because of, you know, they didn't have their headlights on. They're just stopping everyone for no reason.
Yeah.
And because they want to.
It seems like they're not doing a very thorough job. The only time I went through a checkpoint was on the border in Texas, and my friend really had to pee. And we're two white-looking girls. She's actually half Mexican, but she looks mostly white. And American accents. And they just say, like, where are you heading to? And she was like, Texas. And we were, like, already in Texas. And they're like, have a nice day. Because we just, like, clearly aren't illegal or, you know, quote-unquote illegal aliens. So they just, like,
no, I've actually seen that happen. So I was driving with an ex I had who was European, and we were passing through California on, is it 5 or is it 10? I forget the one that runs, you know, east-west. Oh, and anyway, so I'll get this out real quick. They asked, like, if we had, you know, paperwork, and, like, I'm an American, and I was like, well, here's my driver's license, I'm American. And they asked her, she's like, well, I'm a European. They're like, oh, do you have your stuff? And she's like, no, I don't. She's like, well, whatever. You're not what we're looking for.
Whoa. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.